Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Jeff Erickson here with Fred Zinke, as always, on Tuesday. Fred, we just finished off the trade deadline. It was a really fun trade deadline. How'd it go for you?
I hated everything the Blue Jays did at the trade deadline. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. I think trading Austin Martin's going to really come back and bite them down the road. Yeah. I just thought that was, I don't know, maybe I'm overrating Martin, but I mean, and I'm not a massive minor league guy, but we had people talking when the Blue Jays drafted Martin that maybe he was the best hitter in that entire draft class. Like, he went fifth, but Torkelson went first. And I think pitchers went second, third, and fourth. And a lot of people thought he might be a better professional hitter than Torkelson. And I don't know. I do know that prospects are overrated often, but I don't know about, I think Martin's going to be really good and they're going to lose whatever they would have had 7 years or 6 years or whatever it would have been to him for Berríos, who's fine. He's good. He's good. He's not great. He's good.
What if Berríos gets you into the playoffs though?
Into the playoffs and how far? Like into the wild card game?
Because not enough for you, huh?
No, no. So, and I know they have him next year. If they had some plan to extend Berríos maybe and lock him up for two more years or something like that, I don't know, then I could see it, but I don't know. I actually was shocked. And then to give up Simeon Woods Richardson in the same deal, who's a decent prospect himself, I thought that was excessive. I don't know. If it was just Martin for Berríos, I don't think I would have been okay with it. So, and then they got Soria and Brad Hand. I don't think Brad Hand's very good anymore. He's okay.
Well, we saw that yesterday. He already struggled a little bit. Well, all you have to do is watch him pitch, and you see him just nibble, nibble, nibble.
Yep.
And that's not a fun pitcher to watch. So you think Romano closes for them?
Yes. Yeah, he's just better than Hand, so I think he probably will. I think getting Soria is fine. They didn't give up anything for him, and I don't know. It's like every fan, right? We all want our teams to do something at the deadline, mm-hmm. and my team did, and then I hated it. Like, I hated all of it. When they got Hand, I was like, oh, Hand, really?
I think careful what you wish for. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, we could have got someone with less name value, but who's just as good of a pitcher. And the story I think is fine. It's like inconsequential, but giving up Austin Martin, I don't know, I had a problem with that. And your Reds didn't do much.
No, they didn't.
And now, I asked you this question. I don't think you replied to me. So I'll ask it right now in front of everyone.
Okay.
If Fernando Tatis had that shoulder injury 24 hours earlier, do you think your Reds would have been more aggressive at the deadline, or do you think they're just cheapskates and they wouldn't have done anything?
Cheapskates and wouldn't have done anything.
Probably.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you're going to address anything, it's going to be shortstop. But Kyle Farmer has actually been hot.
On fire. Yeah.
So, I mean, even though I think you can probably do better than him in the long run, you know, who knows what the Rockies were asking for Story, for that matter. I mean, I think that's like the key. I mean, you know, and Javi Baez obviously is not a good fit with the Reds. So, you know, there's just too much that's happened there that I just don't think that trading for him was a possibility. And the Cubs might not have been open to it. Baez might not have been open to it. So you look at it from that standpoint. And for that matter, Baez, you know, for all of his defense and his power, he's not a great hitter. At least on base wise, he's not. So I don't know what the Reds would have done. I mean, what starting pitchers were available that they could have gotten? I mean, I would have been hyped for Kyle Gibson. Barrios, maybe. Yeah, but look at the price in Barrios.
Yeah.
You know, that's a year and a half of him, granted, but still, you know, the Reds have done that deal before. It didn't work out all. I mean, I guess it did work out. Bauer pitched great last year. I don't know. I to answer your question, no. And again, it's just to try to, you know, and they're, it's to try to get a wild card game, a road wild card game against the second place NL West team. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think they should have gone that crazy. Part of me was frustrated they were very quiet at the deadline, and then part of me was like, well, the one thing that they could have done is what your Blue Jays did, was go get relief help 2 months ago. That would have been much better.
What about getting relief help now? Like, what if they got Rodriguez? What if they got Ian Kennedy? Like, they weren't too expensive. Or what if they got Kimbrel or something like that? You know, that was my maybe move for the Reds would be add, say, like Kennedy and Rodriguez. And now all of a sudden the bullpen goes from not very good to like kind of deep, right? Kind of deep without star power.
True. I mean, they did get Sessa. They did. And mm-hmm. Gibbons, who I actually think could be good.
Me too.
And then Justin Wilson, who I think they had to take his contract to get Sessa. Mm-hmm. I think that's how that kind of worked out. But you know what? You know, and the thing is, you look at even Justin Wilson, who they got, who's having a really bad year. He's not any worse than Josh Oshich, who they had pitching the eighth inning of a key game against the Cubs last Monday. Mm-hmm. So they actually kind of addressed it, but they also just they did half measures, which is what I tend to expect from this team. And that's what we got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, and they're in that half measures kind of realm. So yeah, at least you've got meaningful Reds baseball at least into August, depending on what happens with Tatis and the Padres. Padres are pretty good even without Tatis, but he obviously is the straw that stirs the drink over there. So
yeah,
I mean we'll see. I always say that this is a bit of a loser mentality. Maybe this is my Jays fan mentality coming out. But if I can have meaningful baseball until the NFL kicks off, that's pretty good. I guess, like, I know I want to win the World Series, but I've had so many seasons with the Jays where I just don't care by the middle of July that, or, you know, if I could have meaningful baseball into September, that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like as a Reds fan this year, that's it. Stay within four games or something of some sort of postseason spot, whether the Brewers stumble or whether they stay with the Padres, stay within about four games or so that their games still matter through Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, I guess it's because they raised expectation levels so high last year. Mm-hmm. To see them not really pursue it that hard this year is what's so frustrating. But and the Reds reside in the NL Central, where there's one good team. Mm-hmm. It's the Brewers, and there's the Cardinals are a mediocre team, and the Cubs are tearing apart now. You reside in the AL East. It's a lot different. You know, you got three good teams there, and the Orioles.
For sure. And you're right. The Reds are probably thinking like this division is going to be wide open again next year. So maybe we just play the long game and wait for a year where everything clicks for us. They've just got some guys this year who are having some really nice offensive seasons. Castellanos, Votto now, Winker. Yeah. Like they've got some guys having some nice offensive seasons now that Kyle Farmer kind of seems like maybe he could be part of the puzzle. And it's a shame to waste them.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk that Kyle Farmer would be a better offensive asset than Eugenio Suarez at the beginning of the season? But here we are. That's just the thing. And, you know, they are going to get Castellanos back. They're going to get Nick Senzel back. They're going to get Moustakas back at some point. In the bullpen, Sims and Antone, they will have reinforcements coming. I just don't like that notion of, oh, that's our trade deadline acquisition. See? You know, and all that. Because we've talked about that mentality before.
That's right. Every team's getting some players back in August, some more than others, but every team's getting players back. So, yeah, you're right. That doesn't hold water with me either.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some of the top news of the day. Gerrit Cole tested positive for COVID. It's kind of kicking in a lot of places again here, Fred. Mm-hmm. Trey Turner is going to be coming back soon. Josh Hader went on COVID IL yesterday too. Those are two huge names.
Yeah, and the Gerrit Cole one is really frustrating because it came out after Yankees players locked, even if you have a versatile lineup lock like an NFBC. So you're stuck with zeros from Cole for the week. I missed the Hader. We had another family over for dinner last night, and I had all my lineups set at about 4 o'clock. Oh, there were 3:30 when they showed up, and then they left at like, I don't know, 8, And then after they left, I pulled out my phone and was just catching up. And I was like, oh, no. And so I'll be taking zeros in two leagues from Josh Hader now this week. And at first, you know, you go through this denial where you're like, maybe it's just a close contact. Maybe it's just a close contact. Maybe it's just a couple days and they get him cleared. And then you're like, nope, he tested positive. So, yeah, this is going to be an issue, it seems, now in America going forward. Like you said, we've lost Turner, Hader, and Cole now all in the span of a week, just as big, big name guys.
And Yelich before that.
Yes, Yelich before that. So, and when you take these zeros and when these leagues come down, we all have stories of, you know, my league was won by two RBIs. My league was won by one save. Some of these things are going to, you know, sway some leagues. So, and there's not much you can do about it. We could have someone really, really good test positive today or tomorrow, and you're just stuck with them in your lineup, at least if it's a hitter till Friday and if it's a pitcher all week.
Yeah. And, you know, we're dealing with it seems like every day now it's happening. We had a game postponed with the Nats. So, you know, they made it up the next day, but, you know, we're entering that realm again, which is a little frustrating, thinking that, hey, we're over this. No, you're not. Yep.
No.
Then that's aggravating here. In the case of Hader, so Devin Williams is probably rostered in almost every single league. I haven't seen any places where he's available. I saw people picking up Brad Boxberger too, though. And I think, didn't Boxberger back into a save yesterday?
Yeah, he got a save. They sent John Axford out in the ninth inning, which would have been an awesome story, especially for me as a Canadian.
Right.
I'm not sure if anyone knows that, but he started this comeback quest by trying to help the Canadian team qualify for the Olympics. And so that's kind of cool and patriotic and whatever. And then moved into the Blue Jays farm system. And then I guess the Blue Jays weren't going to bring him up. So the Brewers are trying it. It didn't work. Boxberger came in and saved the day. I think it could be Boxberger for 10 days. He's got a lot of, you know, saves history. He's been pretty solid this year. I can easily see them using him like for a couple more saves before Hader gets back. I looked in friends and family this morning, obviously too late, just like every time I try to find someone in friends and family.
I got the alert that Boxberger got picked up. I was like, why? Oh,
right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were, that was during your dinner party, I'm sure.
But, probably. I didn't even get anyone good in friends and family over the deadline. I was away at a hockey tournament with my son and the trades were flying and I was trying to do other things. And then I sat down that night and I was like, hey, I'll see what's available in friends and family from these guys. Oh, wait, nobody. Oh, they're all gone. Oh, everybody who was opened up from these trades for a role is all gone. Great. So, oh, well,
right.
No big deal.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there are still save speculation that can happen. Like the Rangers, we have no idea who's going to close for them. I mean, you can go out and take Patton and make bad jokes, World War II jokes about which theater he is in and all that. But, you know, as I did on Sunday. But you know what? You know, others will emerge too. That's the thing. There's going to be plenty of opportunities on these bad teams.
That's right, because I think the first, like we had, this wasn't like a big Fabapalooza last weekend, but it was a heavy, heavy Fab weekend.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of us had bid groups that were 15 players deep and things like that. But on the closer side, like you, for sure, like Kyle Finnegan emerged but you still had so many muddled situations. And now it looks like maybe Dylan Floro is going to get the first shot for the Marlins. Like he got a save last night, so Maybe he's got the inside track there, but the truth is, like, whether it's the Marlins, the Pirates, the Rangers, the Orioles, like a lot of these weaker teams, like they may never settle on a closer this year, but the first guy they try in August after the deadline may not end up being the guy. So there are going to be other options popping up. They're not going to be good options.
Yeah, that's right. Although you never know. So all it takes is 1 month, five saves. You never know. Yep. That could happen. A couple of hits, a couple of homers. Going back to the Brewers, you know, so Boxberger did get a save. He actually threw more balls than strikes. It's funny. Axford kind of got yanked in part because his command was off. But Boxberger was a little bit all over the place. Boxberger actually has four saves on the year, and he's been pretty good this year. And so it's kind of funny about that. You know, a couple other things happened in this game, too. Eric Lauer got the win in this one, and they're kind of going with that six-man rotation. Lauer is actually pitching okay. 3.50 ERA, 1.24 whip. Do you have any Lauer in your life?
I do. Actually, I think he's an interesting guy to bring up today. So I do. The Brewers are really interesting in that they've gone with, like you said, kind of a six-man rotation. Like they'll jump into six for a turn. Then they'll go down to five and maybe have Hauser piggyback, like when he piggybacked off Peralta for a turn. And they're kind of all over the place as they're trying to manage these innings. We know whose innings they don't care about, and that's Eric Lauer. Like he's going to get his turns, and whatever happens to him happens. I do have some Lauer. He's been really good lately, but it's not surprising at all. If you go back and look at his schedule, he's had arguably the most favorable schedule of any starter has had in the last month or so. Right. So check this out. His last six starts, three out of six against the Pirates, and one of the other ones at home against the Rockies, which is probably the best matchup in baseball, getting Colorado on the road. He had a home KC, so you get the Royals, who aren't great offensively, and you get them without the DH. And then he had a home Reds. And the Reds are much worse against lefties this year.
They are.
Much, much, much worse than they are against righties, which actually
fits. Emphasize that a little bit more, please. Much worse.
But when you look at Jesse Winker, who's still not can't hit lefties, and you look at Joey Votto, who's a left-handed bat, and some players like that, like it makes some sense that the Reds are better against righties and everything. So Lauer's been really effective lately, despite not striking out a ton of batters. His walk rate's just okay. The schedule has been really favorable. I think Lauer is someone more to rent than own right now, but
yeah, he faces San Francisco this weekend, so it's going to get a little bit worse.
Right. But if that went poorly, like you were already saying, like the NL Central is so full of soft landings right now, especially if you're a Brewers starter or a Red starter, you know, because the other teams are mostly the soft landings. So I would probably hold Lauer, just assuming he's going to have a lot of favorable starts the rest of the way, but I wouldn't commit, even though he's got a 350 ERA, that kind of screams leave me in the lineup. I don't think he's a leave you in the lineup type pitcher yet.
No,
forever,
I agree.
Forever.
Yeah. Well, same thing is true with Brett Anderson. Shu and I picked him up in the main event last week. He stole us two wins, which was awesome. This week he gets San Francisco. I'm not touching that. So, but he's going to hang around on our roster. That's for sure. Hard to find good streamers. And if you know you can stream him later, okay, well, let's park him. He earns a spot on the bench this week, but he stays on the team.
Yes, I think this is the year that we're seeing a massive difference between 12 and 15 team leagues with the starters, where in a 12, I'd say go ahead and drop Brett Anderson, go ahead and drop Lauer if he has a couple bad starts, or if he has a couple bad matchups coming up. In a 15, it's like, oh, I'm going to drop Eric Lauer because he's got a couple hard starts coming up. Oh, okay, who are you going to pick up for him? Oh, wait, there's no, what am I going to drop him for? John Lester? Am I going to drop him for Jay Happ?
Right.
There's these terrible starters on waivers. I'd rather roll the dice with Lauer or sit out a couple hard matchups and use a reliever and have him still around. There's hardly anyone to drop him for. An interesting thing about Lauer, I feel like he's been around for a while because he made 23 starts his rookie year. He's only 26 and just barely 26. So like 26 in 2 months kind of thing. So he's younger than I thought. Sometimes baseball players sneak up on me in the opposite direction. And because a lot of them debut late or barely play in their mid 20s. And I think the guy's young and he's 29 or something. Lauer is younger than I thought. So maybe there is still some upside potential in him.
Yeah, it could be. It could very well be. Our podcast is sponsored by WynnBET. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin at roulette. In Canada, they have like two extra numbers. Just, you know, it's one of those things they have there.
Right.
Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WYNNBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's Fantasy Podcast. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Fred Zinke. Fred, New York news. There's two, a lot of people got screwed by Cole. Other people got screwed by Brandon Nimmo, a late scratch with an injury of his own, which kind of screwed us, you know, especially because it came out so late. You know, the Mets played yesterday, kind of, I know I caught Shu and I off guard. I think it happened, like the news came out about him getting scratched like right before the start of the game, a hamstring injury there. he was originally listed in the starting lineup. So it wasn't like even a case there. Okay, well, we didn't know he was, you know, he was, you know, we thought, okay, he's good to go. Said Kevin Pillar got the start. You know, he's really frustrating.
Brandon Nimmo got hurt? No way. Yeah, he was, I think, I actually just was doing an article the other day and noticed, I think he was third in the, not surprising, third in the majors in walks in July. So he's Brandon Nimmo. He's doing Brandon Nimmo things this year. Yeah. 422 on base. That's actually a career best, but he's always an on base guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and, but he's not doing much else. He has two homers and two, he has two homers and two steals.
And 15 RBI too. I mean, yeah, you're getting no category juice from him. I should have known better. I had him in a lot of places this year. I cut him in a couple. I've had him in others. Did have a Nimmo related question. You never know. When you got a Nimmo related question, you got to answer it. Bang Bang Booey says, should I drop Nimmo for Santander? Yeah, I would. Santander is back from his COVID trip. You know, and he's nothing great, but you're just getting so little. If you're playing in an OBB league, it'd be one thing. But otherwise, I think he's a cut.
So I would say I would drop Nimmo and just, but not pick up Santander.
Okay.
Like easy to say. Someone would be like, well, then who would you pick up? I don't know. Cause I can't see the waiver wire in your league. I'll give you an example. Jake Fraley just came back from the COVID IL. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about someone who does give check category juice. Fraley has 7 homers and 8 steals. I don't have that bat total in front of me. Oh, I do now. 118. So compare him to Nimmo. Fraley's had 118 bats this year. Nimmo's had 153. Nimmo's got 2 homers and 2 steals. Fraley's got 7 homers and 8 steals. So I think Fraley also has a 416 on base. So, and he's widely available. I don't know if he's available in that particular league, but if Santander's available, then Fraley might be. I think Santander's still not fully healthy. He was really bad during July. So to me, the move is more about moving off of Nimmo. And then I like Fraley. If he's not available, I'd find someone else. And then I'd go with that guy. And if that guy wasn't working out, I'd try someone else. But it's more about moving off Nimmo. With Nimmo, it's just, if you're a leadoff hitter in the National League, which he is, and you don't hit any home runs, it's really hard to get RBIs. Like basically you get RBIs at that point at a rate of about 1 out of every 10 at-bats, which is exactly what he's doing. Like that's your classic NL punchless leadoff hitter will have, say, 550 at-bats and about 50 RBIs. Like, you can't make 1 every 10 or 11 at-bats. And that's kind of what he's doing because he's not hitting any home runs. So he'll score some runs, and he'll so far help your batting average. If you're in an OBP league, you probably hang on to him. If you're not, I think I'd be pretty comfortable letting him go. I just don't see – there's just not much upside here. And these aren't – like, I know his power's down this year, but it was never good. He has one season with 10 homers in his career. He's never stolen 10 bases. It's just not – he gets hurt a lot. Like, he's a better real-life player than a fantasy player.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think the basic takeaway here is stream the spot.
Yep.
You know, and just until you find something that clicks. You know, or you just find good schedules. You try to work around it that way.
Yes, especially because we get later in the season, and like I'll put some articles out in August for sure, talking about how we start looking for Mr. Right now as opposed to Mr. Right, right? And early in the season, you start to look at some guys, and you're like, okay, well, he's not hitting well now, but he's good. I think he's good. I'll get him, and we'll see how it goes. Now it's like, who's got 7 games next week? Who's going to who's going to Baltimore? Who's going to Colorado? Like, who can I stream this week? And I would just take Nimmo's spot and just stream it that way.
Yeah, I would too. All right. You could stream him with Joe Adell. You know, he just got called up by the Angels. Finally, after much bitching and moaning by us and many others in the fantasy sports world, including, you know, over the weekend, like, okay, let's go, Angels. What's going on? Mm-hmm. But they just waited an extra day just to tease us. So, okay. Are you interested in Joe Adell?
Yep. I think you have to be. I know the strikeout rate's a problem, but mm-hmm. he's played 73 games in AAA this year and has 23 homers. Like, we're talking a homer every 3 games, and he also has 8 steals. And he showed a bit of speed at times in the minors before. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about someone who could hit a homer a week in the majors, and, you know, that's like a 26 homer pace, and throw in, I don't know, a steal every 2 or 3 weeks. Like, just even get the 3 steals the rest of the way, something like that. That would be pretty good. The question is can he hit for average? Because without not strike out all the time, because so far in his major league career, he hasn't been able to do that.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll see.
The strikeouts are still there. 99 Ks and 339 plate appearances. He was getting a little bit better recently, although I'm still looking at it. It's still pretty high. But the last 21 days down at Salt Lake, hitting 349, you know, slugging 683. He's just been slugging all season long. I just don't know why they waited so long, but looks like he's going to, you know, especially when you look at what they've had in their roster the whole time there, especially in the outfield. A lot of Juan Ligueras, a lot of Adam Eaton and Phil Gosselin out there. But Adele coming back kind of puts the screws to Brandon Marsh, you know, a fellow prospect. You know, Marsh might have to sit a lot now.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, we'll see which way the Angels go down the stretch if they make it a priority to play these guys. But Marsh is hitting 167, and he had to get off to a good start. He hasn't homered. You know, he has a 488 OPS. I think he's going to sit. He might even go back down to the minors for a while. They put him back down 2 or 3 weeks, get his confidence going, get him rolling again. Maybe Adele and Marsh are both playing every day in September. We'll wait and see. But I do think Adele is up to play. I thought a bit about Adele this morning before we started, and I thought, so if I was winning my league and batting average mattered to me, I would steer clear of Adele. If I'm in fourth or fifth or sixth in my league, I am all over Adele because he's the kind of guy who, if it did click, if he could hit 260 the rest of the way, maybe he hits 260, maybe hits 260 with 10 homers, right? So,
right.
You know, so I think that's the thing with Adele. If you're winning your league, maybe you're a little tentative because you don't want him to ruin it. If you're not winning your league, this is the kind of guy to go for. As opposed to, for example, we were just talking about Brandon Nimmo. Like, if you're trying to move up from sixth to get in the money, like, Brandon Nimmo is not going to help you get there.
No, it's not. One thing we've noticed, and Marsh is the latest, the shiny new toys this year haven't been great. You know, yes. Kelnick, we've talked about his struggles. He's been pretty pronounced. But there's been a lot of guys like that that really struggled. Marsh, obviously, is another one. And then of course, Bobby Witt Jr. never got the call, which is beguiling when you consider Mondesi's had like 10 games this year. It's kind of frustrating to watch it. You know, people, you know, if you don't have Kelnick, you don't realize how much he struggled. You know, he's hitting 128 still. You know, it's really hard to hit 128 in the majors.
Yes. Showed a bit of signs of life last week. He had a couple games, like he had a multi-hit game. He had a game with a hit and two walks. Last night he had a hit and a walk. So he's showing some signs of life, which I think is fine. I actually dropped him in a main event league. Not this past Sunday, the Sunday before, which was not strategic to get him into the fab run with the post trade deadline fab run, but that was like a bit of an added bonus that he would obviously occupy some people's attention. And he ended up going for about 250. So somebody was really excited. It might even be 300. I think it was about 250. Someone was really excited that we had dropped him. In another league, I held on to him just kind of where I had more space to hold on to him. So I don't really know what to do with Kelnick right now, but he is showing some signs of life. But overall, if you've drafted him like I did in a couple leagues, like it's already over. It's already been a bad pick.
Yep. AL Towers for me. And I feel like I'm kind of just locked into using him too.
In AL Towers, absolutely. Just keep rolling him out there and hope that he figures it out. At this point, like, what are you're basically would be replacing him with nobody. Yeah. You'd just be saying, I don't want the OBP drain. So I would just take the OBP drain and hope that he figures it out at some point.
That's right.
Yeah.
Before we talk a little Jesus Luzardo, quick note from our sponsors on the Blue Wire Network.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome back for those of you here on the pod. We are talking all things baseball, Fred Zinke and I. I want to talk a little bit Jesus Luzardo and the Marlins. They got their, they got Luzardo up. He got the win, more because the Marlins jumped on Tyler McGill pretty quickly last night. But are you interested in Luzardo now that he's back up and going?
In 15 team leagues, yes, because he's a starting pitcher.
Yes.
In 12s, it would depend on my pitching situation. I even have at least one 15 team league where I wouldn't be interested in him. Like my starting pitch is deep enough on my bench that I wouldn't bother. My other 15s, I probably would. In a 12, I would like to say that Luzardo is like Adele or Kelnick, where he's a guy who could turn your season around if he actually got going. Mm-hmm. But look at Luzardo's career stats. He's never really totally gotten going. Like he's never had a season. Like I when I looked back at it, I thought I remembered him like a couple years ago having a stretch where maybe he did have a little stretch where he was really good. But 2020, he threw 59 innings. His ERA is 4.12. His WHIP's 1.27. Like he's just a guy. He's a strikeout printing. He's fine. He's not hurting. He's not killing you. But he's and I know he's. I'm being a little hard. He's 24 almost.
He's 23.
Almost 24. Yeah. And 24 near the end of the season. And so, I mean, like long-term, I thought that was a home run trade by the Marlins. I thought that was a terrific to get rid of Marte for a couple months and get a 23-year-old starter left-handed with his upside. I thought was a great trade who's controllable for several years. That was a great trade. But as far as using him for the rest of the season, I don't mind picking him up because Miami's a great place to pitch and he's in the National League now. And so for those reasons, I'd say I'm interested, right. But I would not be out there next week dropping, you know, $80, $100. I would not be dropping like big time fab for him. I think
you're probably right. I think so. I mean, I still believe in the promise of him, but obviously something's off a little bit. And you know, he got the win, but his command wasn't great. Walked 3 over 5 innings. He's walked 19 and 43 this year. So, you know, something's been off all season long with him. So, and if you look at his AAA numbers, they're really bad too. Now, granted, the PCL is a really, really tough place to pitch, especially when you're trying to fix things. So, you know, I almost would be willing to discount the AAA stats this year. But the point is, you know, yeah, he hasn't been that guy yet. So I hear you on that. Let's stay on Marlins talk. Floro got the save yesterday. And Don Mattingly does tend to like one guy to be the closer. Could see it being him. Could be the next Brandon Kinsler at work here.
Yep, I totally possible. I mean, Floro's got not a good strikeout rate for a reliever. It's 8.3 per nine right now. It's not horrendous, but it's okay. But he's been good this year, 2.49 ERA, 1.22 WHIP. He hasn't been awesome, but he's been good. When you go back through his game log, so I've had him almost the whole season in NL Tout, and he's pitched really well and then had like two or three like awful outings, like where he doesn't even throw an inning and gives up like 3 or 4 or 5 runs. And that's blown up his ratios. But overall, he's pitched really well. Like the last time he gave up an earned run was June 14th. That'll play. Right. Yeah. Like even without a great strikeout rate, that'll play. I think I really like Anthony Bender, but I understand that Anthony Bender is newer to the Marlins bullpen and younger and going through many years of arbitration. And maybe it's not a good idea to make him the closer. And I don't think Anthony Bass is really good. So I think Floro is like a nice mix for them. He's 30. Like he's not so young that you're looking to really control him for a long time. He's probably got a little more potential than Bass. Maybe he closes really well for a couple of months and has some offseason trade value, or you roll into next season with a cheap, useful, you know, closer. So
yeah,
I think he's really interesting. I did not have a lot of leagues where I could pick him up last week. I don't know about you, but I did on Sunday night. He was already owned in some of my leagues.
Yeah, I have to double check on that. I look and see who actually picked him up and all that. But I think I think he was actually available, but I have to double check. And I shouldn't probably. This is a live look right now about looking at my leagues there to see where he's available. But in 12s, he might still be available.
Right. Yes. Oh, 100%. And in some 12s, he's going to still be available and obviously needs to be added like right away.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I think he could have, better save potential. I feel like the Marlins are primed to win some low scoring games down the stretch. This might be analyzing it too closely, but they pitch pretty well. I know they're not totally healthy in the rotation, but Eliezer Hernandez will come back somewhere here in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
Contra, maybe Lizardo will be effective. Zach Thompson's been effective. They pitch well. For a bad team, they pitch well. They just don't hit well. Well, that screams when they do win, it's going to be 3-2, 4-3, 4-2, whatever. And that's some saves for Floro. So I think he could end up being more valuable than Finnegan or Clippert or some of these ones that people were chasing after.
Yeah. Floro went for $1 in one of my mains.
Wow. You
know, nice. Someone won a tiebreaker, a 1-1 race. And the other main event, I think he might be available still,
okay.
So there you go. I guess we'll be putting it. I'm going to put that placeholder bid in on them now so I can remember. Do you ever do that? You look up a player and like, just so I don't forget, let's just go ahead and put a bid on him now. All the time.
Yeah. Just in one league, like I'll just pick a league that's going to be like, whether it's my main event league that week or whatever, but I'll just try to find that player in one league and just put in a $1 bid just so that it's there on Sunday when I go in to really do my bids and I don't forget about him. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now this is a league where I picked up Cole Sulcer. I went ahead and did that again. So I don't know. I'm set. I don't need another closer, Fred. I'm good. We got Sulcer.
I also grabbed Sulcer in at least one league. I'm not excited about him, but I do think he's an okay pitcher who has the chance to get some saves. I'm not against your Sulcer move.
Yeah. I think though Sulcer for more than one versus Floro for one,
Yes, for sure. So, as of today, give me Floro. Back on Sunday, I might have preferred Sulcer. I might have. So, like, this is how this rolls this time of year. All these teams have stripped their bullpens, yep. And if Anthony Bass comes out and gets a save tonight or tomorrow, we'll be like, oh, forget Floro. Who are we on to next?
Exactly. Yeah. Floro is 79% rostered in the main event. And 61% active too. So some people picked him up and still aren't using him because they didn't believe. That's got to be annoying. You picked up Floro, like, yeah, all right, I picked up Floro. I don't know. We'll see. Then you get to save the next day and he's on your bench. You're like, you might have missed out on three saves this week. That'd be super frustrating.
Yes. And yeah, if you've added those guys, you have to decide how much do you need to just scrounge for those saves and use them. And if they get no saves and you kind of wasted a week on two strikeouts or three strikeouts and no saves, then so be it. But just depends how desperate you are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about one other closer situation there. Kyle Finnegan. We got him in a couple of spots and he's been good. He's picked up two saves, and the rest of the bullpen blew leads without him. So, giving him some more, I think, he was actually my priority closer wise going into last week.
Me too. Yep, me too. And I think last night was perfect for him in that they tried to not use him because he had pitched three out of four. He pitched 3 out of 4 days going into last night. So I get it. They backed off of him. Why not? You're the Nats. You're not competing. But then the bullpen couldn't hold it. So now you're sitting there as the manager saying, well, I can't really turn away. If he's available, I got to use him. I don't want to go to the other guys. They couldn't do the job. So I think he's pretty locked in. I would probably prefer him to Floro right now. Although I'm quite interested in Floro, but I may prefer Finnegan just because he's already got a couple saves here.
Yeah.
Just got a relief win on August 1st. Like he's pretty dialed in, I think, with that team right now.
So Brad Hand got traded in the morning, if you recall, on Thursday. Friends and family, I'm doing the show. Okay, I see this come across. Okay, I'm going to pick up Wander Suero. I think he's got the first chance. Since then, he's pitched three times, including in that doubleheader on that very day. Two runs allowed. And then yeah, last night, three runs allowed. Now I had already dropped Suero. He was only active for one of those games, but yeah, that ended poorly. Meanwhile, Gray from Razzball picked up Finnegan like seconds after. And I almost went back to get Finnegan too. And then I think I messed around and picked up somebody else in the interim and missed out on my chance on Finnegan. So I handled that one perfectly. It was so bad.
Yeah. I mean, we're all throwing darts right now at some of these guys. And they're just these moves that like sometimes right after it's like, well, that was brilliant. Of course I saw that. That was brilliant. And then sometimes right after you're thinking, you know, like if you grabbed Anthony Bender and right now you're thinking, oh, why did I do that? Why didn't I see Floro coming? Why did I grab Bender? That's just the way it will roll here for probably about 10 days. I'd say for about 10 more days. And then some of those situations will start to really level out here in the next 10 days.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the problem is we're asking for teams who win rarely to smooth out their closer situation. And these teams are like, wait, we're only winning two or three games a week the rest of the time. And they're not all going to be save chances. So it's going to take us a while to work out this closer situation.
The only exception was the Rays, but they are the Rays. And we already know that they're not going to use one guy. Whistler got the save on Sunday night. It was kind of choppy, although one of the two hits he allowed was just a little flare. It wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think anybody expects him to be a full-time closer. Yet there's such a reward if he is.
Yes, absolutely. That's always the catch-22 with that team. I don't expect any of them to be a full-time closer either.
Yeah. All right, one more commercial note before we move on and close up today's podcast. The NFL is back on Thrive Fantasy. Thrive Fantasy has over $100,000 guaranteed for NFL Week 1. With Thrive Fantasy, you can eliminate the countless hours of research and focus on only the top-tier athletes that have the biggest impact on the game. Sign up today and get a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. Here's how you claim your free RotoWire subscription. Visit rotowire.com/thrive. Deposit a minimum of $10 and receive deposit bonus up to $100. Play in your first paid contest and receive a free 6-month RotoWire subscription. That's all at Thrive. Thanks to Thrive for their sponsorship for this. Fred, did you see the comments from Jed Hoyer after the Cubs? I think it was yesterday, about all the Cubs players that, you know, they couldn't extend. He's trying to kind of carry the ownership water. Did you see that by any chance?
So I didn't, but I know that you never miss a chance to take a swipe at the Cubs. And their management
at group. Management at any management group, really.
I did see that he said it was his greatest source of frustration that he was unable to sign these guys.
Right. And he goes, if you look at he said something effective, like this is going to be a mark, you know, you're going to see that our offers were at the market level, et cetera, et cetera. And just, you know, especially cause he was frustrated. Cause I think a couple of the players said they didn't want to leave Chicago, but yet they didn't accept offers either to extend, you know, but one of them, you know, like one of the players was Chris Bryant, and they screwed Chris Bryant over big time with the whole extra year, you know, and that's not to the level where he filed a grievance and all that. Of course, he's not going to accept your offer to extend, especially if it's just market level.
I guess so. I think the Cubs actually dodged a bullet with all these guys. No matter what he says, I think that Jed Hoyer should be sitting there saying, great, perfect. Let's not sign these guys and let's move ahead without them, because none of them are that good. Like Bryant was on a tear at the start of the season. Mm-hmm. And then really tailed off. He's had a bunch of injuries in the last few years and is getting close to 30. Rizzo's on the wrong side of 30 and has a bad back and is still a decent hitter, like a solid hitter, but not amazing. And then Baez, like the horrible plate discipline. I don't know how he's going to age. Like he could easily in a couple of years turn into a guy with like a 270 on base percentage, 280 on base percentage. And I think that they dodged a bullet. So I wonder, without getting into like me being in those negotiations, I say he could turn, actually, I said Baez could turn into that. He had a 238 on base percentage last year. So so he's already been worse than that. But if I was the Cubs, like, I don't think you can break the bank on any of these guys. It's just a bad move. Like you're almost throwing money. You're throwing money after the memories, and the offense isn't good with these guys in the middle of it. So, I'm not a fan of Cubs management at all. So I'm not
Cubs like, ownership at least.
Yeah, ownership. Sorry. So I'm not like defending them or anything. But if I ran the Cubs, I would be very hesitant to tie myself to Rizzo, Bryant, or Baez, or especially two or three of them for, what do you think they were looking for on contracts? 5 years?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the negotiations were.
I would be tentative. I'd be fine with tying myself to them because they have won a World Series there. I'd tie them for 2 years or maybe three, but I would be very hesitant to tie myself to them for a long time.
Yeah. You know, I'll say, though, that the same thing about Bryant, though, you know, okay, he's almost 30, but that's also because the Cubs manipulated his service time. You know, and so it kind of goes both ways as far as that goes.
Oh, yeah. In the long run. And what's crazy, not crazy, but what it's almost funny looking at it, like looking at the Cubs right now, like they were so intent on delaying his service time. And then in the end, they didn't even really care if they had him this year and they didn't get much for him. And if the whole thing was moved up a year, it wouldn't have really mattered. So, you know, they were thinking this thing way down the road. I get it, but it didn't end up mattering at all. They probably overthought the situation right at the very beginning.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. So I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting there. And I always take the player side on these things. I know that's not always right, but
yeah, I just think I get your point. Yeah,
I
just think that those three specific players are like all traps on the free agent market next season. I would be very wary of signing them. If my favorite team signed them, I would be concerned. There was Bryant to the Blue Jays rumors all season. I was not interested. I was like, this offense is good enough. Chris Bryant could help, but he might not help at all. If the Jays traded Randall Grichuk for him, who hasn't actually been that good since he got off to a hot start, he's just been okay. Like, I don't know. I would have thought about that just to get rid of Grichuk's contract. But I just think all those guys are offseason traps. When the list of available free agents come out, my eyes will skip past all of them, those three guys, and try to find some other guys who I think will be better deals.
Certainly, like with all the other shortstops out there, Baez is definitely not the first guy you think of. You know, it's Seager, it's Story. There's going to be a lot of shortstops out on the market. I'd actually prefer Marcus Semien over Baez.
Yes. Me too. So yeah, I would have almost no interest in signing Baez to any sort of massive contract if I was a GM. Because he gets on base so infrequently, like he's so dependent on his plate skills to get, you know, to provide all of his offense. If those go down a little bit, like it may not be a graceful aging for him. You take someone like Andrew McCutchen, who just went on the IL yesterday. You know, he knows how to draw a walk. So he's had some ups and downs as he's been getting older, and like he's getting older and he's had knee injuries and things like that, but he can still get on base. So he can still do some things, and his power's back up a little bit this year. Baez, I don't know. I think it could be ugly.
Yeah.
At some point, I think he could just go off a cliff at some point he can't hit for average anymore. And he's never been able to draw a walk, and his OBP is super low. And if your OBP is super low, your team can't keep running you out there.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right about that.
Yeah.
Last guy I want to talk about is Jacob DeGrom, Phil DeSalt. He's really smart fantasy player. He's leading the main event overall. He dropped Jacob DeGrom in his main event league. Wow.
Wow. I'm impressed. I believe he explained himself on Twitter saying that he's only expecting four or five more starts from DeGrom this year. Who knows how long those starts will be, at least the initial ones. And he just wanted to use the roster spot, and he did not want to wait around for 4 weeks or so, hopefully, of having DeGrom in his lineup.
Right.
I don't know if I could bring myself to do that. Like the counterpoint to that is, maybe you get five starts with a total of five earned runs and three or four wins, you know, if from DeGrom and a great strikeout rate and everything else. Like this guy, when healthy, is the best fantasy baseball asset to have. So yeah. I don't know. I don't question Phil because he's so good at playing this game. So I'm not going to question him, but I don't think I could. I don't have DeGrom in any league where I could drop him. I just have him in a draft and hold. So I don't have to make that decision. Could you drop him?
So here's the thing. He had a setback, underwent an MRI on Friday, said right forearm inflammation. He's not even going to throw for 2 weeks.
So yeah, you are probably looking at four to five starts. Tops.
Now, those could be awesome starts, or he could have another setback, you know. And, you know, the Mets are in a weird place. They've got like a whole slew of Dodgers and Giants games coming up too. So we could be looking at a team that, you know, is hanging on for dear life, trying, and they've been kind of just that way all season long. I don't know. It might be, you know, I kind of feel like they're in a tough spot here because, you know, I know they added Baez. They tried to kind of add at the deadline, but they might be faltering in this race. I can see why the Phillies were trying to be buyers. And you know,
the Braves,
the Braves too. And the Braves, you know, the Braves, they've lost so many different players, Acuna, Ozuna, Darnold. They thought they were going to get Soroka back. That didn't happen. They've, you know, and yet they turn around and they're still trying to retool their outfield on the fly. They add Richard Rodriguez. They're not giving up.
Yeah. They added an entire outfield. Like, I don't know. I think, and this would be classic Mets. If they somehow, I mean, they're rolling, they're winning the division. DeGrom is competing for MVP. Like, that's basically the Mets at the All-Star break. And now we don't know when we're getting DeGrom back. These other teams have been really aggressive fairly aggressive at the trade deadline. They're coming after us. It's multiple teams. It's not just one. So it's two teams. So there's better chance one of them gets hot. Like you said, the Mets have a hard schedule coming up. I think it all sets up for an exciting finish. The Mets offense has underachieved all season. Their offense needs to pick them up right now. Like, they pitched their way into first place.
I agree.
I don't know exactly where they are today, but a couple weeks ago, they were something around second last in the majors in runs scored. Like, Pete Alonso has picked it up, hit 10 homers in July. But they need more guys. Dominic Smith's picked it up a bit, but Lindor's out. Their offense.
Conforto's been terrible.
Awful. He got dropped in a 15-team league that I'm in.
I benched him in a league finally. I mean, it took me a long time to do it. But.
So when he got dropped, like, my eyes immediately went to, like, how much money do I have left? Like, can I get this guy next week? And then the more I looked at him, I thought, I don't know. I don't know if I want to get him next week.
Yeah.
I might just put in all honesty.
Trap.
Yep. And I might put in a competitive, I might do the competitive bid thing. Just price in for us. I'll throw 20, 15 at him just to make sure nobody gets Michael Conforto for $3. But I'd be totally happy for someone else to spend 100 on him.
Only the Pirates have scored fewer runs per game than the Mets in the National League this year. They now have a negative run differential. Boy, the NL East, just a collection of disappointments or bad luck or whatever you want to, phrase it.
You're right. It's disappointments. I thought that division, I didn't like the Nats going into the year, but I thought the Marlins would be like sneaky okay. I thought the Braves would be really good. I thought the Mets would be pretty good. And I thought the Phillies would be pretty good. And it's a division of disappointments. You're right. All five, maybe not the Mets. They're maybe around expectation, although things might spiral downhill. But the other four, I think all have a worse record at this point than people were hoping for.
At the start of the podcast, I asked for questions. I got a couple, so let's hit them real quick. C. Bowman asks, you're at the top of the standings in a redraft league. Would you trade Tatis for 60% value, like a Tim Anderson type? That's not 60%. That's like 90%. But right now, or hold on and hope for the best? This is a trap question because I got it wrong earlier. I was like, trade Tatis. He may not even run. He ran. He was fine. But he did get hurt again. I was right about that. What say you now, Fred?
Oh, okay. So the trick with Tatis is he's going to miss some time. There's less and less time remaining in the season than there was when he was going to miss some time in April. So now you're even more likely, especially if you're at the top of the standings. Oh, if you could trade Tatis right now for Tim Anderson and you're in first place in your league, I think you'd have to take it, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. I would.
You could get nothing from Tatis the rest of the way and it could cost you your league.
Yeah, and we don't know. That might not even be an offer on the table. It might be just a spitballing idea there. That Anderson owner is like, nah, bro. Gonna do that.
Totally. I don't think the Anderson owner will go for it. But if they will, that's exactly the type of move that you should be hunting around for. If you have Tatis and because of him, or partially because of him, you're up really high in your league, I think then that's the type of move you have to look for right now to kind of protect yourself. Again, you have to look at your categories. The other thing is if you have Tatis, I could write a whole article on this, but he does everything. But figure out what you're missing, going to miss the most from him, whether it's the power or the speed, and get that guy. Like, but Tim Anderson's a fairly balanced guy.
There's no speed out there. That's the thing.
You'd have to trade for it. So maybe
you trade
him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whether you trade him though for, I don't think you can get Whit Merrifield for him right now. Maybe you can. I don't know if you can get Starling Marte for him right now. They're kind of in that Tim Anderson range. So like if you needed the speed aspect of him, if that was your tight race, then go for those guys. If you need the power aspect of him, maybe you trade him for Pete Alonso. Cause you're like, I'm in a big gap in steals. You know, I'll take the batting average hit and just get Alonso, who will probably hit as many, even if Tatis was healthy, would probably hit as many home runs as Tatis the rest of the way. So I think that's the thing. Find out what you can't afford to lose from Tatis and find a guy who gives you that and then trade for it. But I have Tatis in Tout NL, and I think how soon he comes back will probably decide whether I can hang on and win that league or not.
I think that's right.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. The uncle asked Patino or not Patino. He said Patina, but I think he means Luis Patino.
I'm a yes on Patino. I've always been intrigued by him, partially because the legacy of Ray's pitching, and he has talent. So I'm interested in Patino, and I have no shares, and I'm disappointed about that.
Yeah, I don't have him anywhere either. Rays have already won that trade, by the way, with the Blake Snell deal.
Yes. It's
pretty wild.
Yes.
How that one's worked out.
Yeah.
Finally, thoughts on Nestor Cortes and the possibility of him staying on the staff. He's starting for Cole. He went through his own COVID issue. What are your thoughts on Nestor Cortes?
I would be a little interested if he did stay on the staff, but I don't think he I don't think he will, especially since they just picked up Andrew Haney. So I don't know if he will.
What a great ad that was.
It would definitely. So yeah, I wondered if Andrew Haney was like the Angels Trojan horse, send him in and knock the Yankees out of playoff contention. Like the Angels were like, okay, our chances are slim. How can we increase them? Let's take Haney and send him to one of the teams we would have to leapfrog and see if he can drag them down. Okay. Well, we'll at least catch the Yankees now. But anyways, Haney's going to start. He's in the rotation. Like it or not, he's in the rotation. It's just another tease with him. I've been sucked in over the years once in a while. I won't say never again because I'll probably get sucked in again. Great strikeout rate. Sometimes he puts it all together for a little while, and then he always either stinks or gets hurt.
Yeah.
Or both.
Yeah. Seems about the right construction.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for the questions. If we didn't get to it, apologize for that. But we hit a bunch of them here. I have to get on to XM. Appreciate everybody for tuning in, as always. Really appreciate the interaction we have. Thanks to WinBet for sponsoring us. We got the Prospect Podcast tomorrow and guests to be named later for Thursday. So looking forward to that. Thanks again for listening. Have a great day.